All right, and I'll say happy Sabbath again to everybody. Good to be here with you, and happy to hear that everybody is doing well and survive this mad week. And I can tell you right now, I have not listened to any news this week, none. Not by design, but I don't miss it because generally speaking, when I do, I get caught up with everything, and I know this, the consequence. Every day there's going to be from a certain person at least 10 lives, and there are lies on both sides of the story. I did hear some things about the upcoming vaccine that's really scary. For those of you who I'm on Facebook with, I actually forwarded the video. I don't know if you've been able to listen to it yet, but it's like most vaccines, it's something to be afraid of. And but this one could be the granddaddy of all vaccines in terms of what it can do to you. It's from what I'm hearing, it has potential to redistribute your gene structure. So it's crazy. It's crazy. But anyway, this particular lesson, as I said earlier, it's really a repeat from very own when we started the study a little over 3 years ago. And so let's see where it takes us. But we know that as Sabbath keepers, we kind of take for granted and take comfort in the fact that we're kind of assured through study, a lot of study, that we are indeed observing the weekly appointed time that was first commanded by Yahweh to the children of Israel for a memorial of the seventh day of Elohim creation, in which Elohim rested from all his work. Now, many have come to keep the appointed times given to the children of Israel in Leviticus 23rd chapter because of an assurance that these appointed times have significant meanings for our daily and annual walk, as well as our understanding of the major events prophesied of in the plan of salvation. And more as we look at Elohim's words, the more we are able to see that everything in it is connected. And as such, we find ourselves being somewhat repetitive of many scriptures because each part is relative to the other part. As we continue in our walk, in this kingdom walk, we're challenged daily by outside influences that unintentionally or intentionally seek to knock us off our paths. And sadly, at times, we are unable to discern these influences, particularly when they are unintentional. Why? Because the unintentional challenges often come at us through those things that we least suspect, right? So the Apostle Paul spoke these words to the called out one in Galatia. And we're going to go to Galatians chapter 5 and verse 7. Galatians 5 and 7. And we're going to read down to verse 10. Galatians 5, 7 through 10. Where he said, you did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? That's an interesting question. This persuasion is not of him that calleth you. Then he says, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. So these brethren were being hindered by Yehudans, brethren, that sought to persuade them that even under the new covenant, they still had to shed their own blood through physical circumcision. Do you think that these persuaders did it so in a deceitful manner? In verse 8, the apostle called it a persuasion and informed that it came not of him that called them. Now, this is a very overlooked statement, if you think about it, because we know who it was that called these called out ones in the first place. That was Yahshua HaMashiach. He called them. So the Apostle Paul is informing them that this persuasion to be physically circumcised After, now this is key too, after the shed blood of the Lamb of Elohim, it came not from Yeshua. Quite possibly, these Yehudans truly believed this was needed. We know fellow brethren, Hebrew brethren today, who truly and continually believe in this teaching. The question is, why did and do they believe this, particularly if they believed in Yeshua? And furthermore, do they accept the apostles' conclusion that that teaching came not from Yeshua? Earlier, the apostle had asked the same called out Galatians some questions. Let's go back to verse 1 in chapter 3. Verse 1 in chapter 3. Chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. And look what he says here. O foolish Galatians, who hath betwixt you that ye should not obey the truth? Before whose eyes Yeshua HaMashiach has been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Have ye suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? These were some powerful and valid questions then, and are even more so today in modernity. Here Paul, who was once a chief Pharisee and proponent of physical circumcision, reminding them that they did not receive the Spirit by the law. Consider what spirit he's talking about. That's the Spirit of truth, the Word of Elohim. This truth he received from Yeshua, no doubt by way of the Spirit of truth. Well, if we believe that we are not susceptible to these same type vanities as was these called out Galatians, we deceive ourselves. And just when we think we're strong, we are made weak. So how do we protect ourselves from these vanities? We should remember what Yeshua said to Yochanan the Baptist at his baptism when he came to the children of Israel in the flesh at the beginning of his ministry. Let's revisit this. Let's go to Matthew chapter 3 and verse 13. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 13. And I'll read down to verse 17 before I make a lot of comments. Matthew 3:13-17, where it says, then cometh Yeshua from Galilee to Jordan unto Yochanan to be baptized of him. But Yochanan forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Yeshua answering said unto him, suffer for now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Yeshua, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened like unto him. And he saw the Spirit of Elohim descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Now, we know at this time he was the only begotten Son. But what was this Spirit of Elohim that Yochanan saw descending as a dove and lighting upon Yeshua? Obviously, it wasn't Yeshua. Some people think the Spirit of Elohim is Yeshua. Obviously, it wasn't the Father, because something came down and descended on him like a dove, right? Pretty much the same as Yahshua's apostles would experience on that great 50th day, the Feast of Weeks. So why are there so many differing opinions on what should be obvious to the household of faith? In verse 15, Yahshua responded to Yochanan's assertion of unworthiness by saying, in essence, let's do this to fulfill all righteousness. And in doing this act, the voice from the Father in heaven said that he was well pleased with his Son. There are a couple of points of interest here. First, in this very act, Yahshua instituted water baptism as a commandment in associating this act with righteousness. Yahshua is establishing this as a spiritual requirement for the children of Israel. In doing so, water baptism is now the central focus of any new convert to Yahweh under the new covenant. Water baptism was now a commandment for every believer, including women who under the old covenant had to almost totally rely on their husbands and fathers. Now, this is the beauty of the new covenant. What if your husband, or your wife for that matter, was another Nabal? Foolish. Now, because of the shed blood of the Lamb, wives have their individual access to Elohim through the actions of Yahshua and not through their husbands, which is just one reason physical circumcision had to become irrelevant under the new covenant. A second point here is that in this very act, Yahshua established that the new covenant would be based on not only the commandments given to the children of Israel, but on new commandments given by him now that he, Yahweh of Elohim, is come in the flesh. And why is this so important? First, many who have immediate access to each one of us don't know that Yahweh and Yahshua are one and the same. Thus, those of this group that claim to be Christians believe in a form of spirituality that is purported to be based on the new covenant, when it is not. Second, there may be others connected to us that know this vital act, and yet, based on their actions, follow Yahweh's prophets more than they do Yahshua and his apostles. Only when the apostles agree totally with the prophets do they accept the apostles' writings as authoritative. They have been taught that Scripture is only the Old Covenant. There are others that know, yet allow and teach doctrines that are not scriptural, based on interpretations of so-called Yehudan or Hebrew authorities. And of course, there are other factions that cross our paths as well. And whether we know it or not, all of these are part of our everyday walk, potentially influencing our everyday walk, and at times can intentionally or unintentionally impact how we walk. Today, the world in which we live is diversely evil. We know that in America, we have a two-sided political system, and if we vote for any political candidate, we believe we're casting our ballots on the least evil influence in our communities and families. On one side, homosexuality is not tolerated because of supposedly biblical beliefs, yet adultery and fornication are accepted readily. Racism is accepted. On the other side, homosexuality is openly accepted. In our hearts, we know that both opinions are led by the beast/kingdom, which inherently follows Satan, which intentionally or unintentionally, neither are following the commandments of Yahweh. For each person who believes in and desires to walk in the teachings of Yahshua, the world all around us presents particular challenges the more we read Elohim's word. So where does that leave us as we strive to discern our spiritual walk? At its core essence, the most profound spiritual advice I've ever received was to follow the trunk, which is HaMashiach, which is why it is worthy of my constantly repeating it. We all need to reconcile our walk with the spirit that impact our everyday lives with our desired walk with HaMashiach. This is why I want to once again discuss tonight's lesson number 158, for righteousness' sake. Is it cold, hot, or lukewarm? For righteousness' sake, is it cold, hot, or lukewarm? Well, if Yahshua is truly at the center of our conviction, we must start with him. Yahshua allowed himself to be baptized by Yochanan to fulfill all righteousness. We know that Elohim, the Father, and the Son expect those drawn to Yahshua to strive to be perfect. For the scripture says, be ye therefore perfect as even even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. And you'll find that in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 48. Matthew 5 and 48. So the question for Yeshua's followers is, are they walking for righteousness' sake? Or are they confused about whether or not they are cold, hot, or lukewarm? Elohim's word suggests that the children of Israel were very confused about this, constantly playing the harlot with other nations. Are we confused? Well, living in these last days, many of us have great jobs, and compared to many in this world, life in general is not so bad. Yet we read this. Let's go to Revelation chapter 18 and verse 4. Revelations 18:4. We're going to read basically down to verse 14. The book of Revelation, chapter 18, we're going to pick it up at verse 4. And it says, I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. This is the plea to Yahshua's followers throughout Elohim's word. Verse 5. For her sins are reached unto heaven, and Elohim hath remembered her iniquities. Verse 7. How much has she glorified herself and lived deliciously? So much torment and sorrow give her, for she hath in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death, mourning, famine. Then one day, huh? That's an interesting statement. And we all know what that means, right? One day. And she shall be utterly burned with fire in that day. For strong is the Lord Elohim who judges her. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, the great city, Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is there thy judgment come, and the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise any more, the merchandise of gold, silver, and precious stones, and of pearls, and fine linen, and purple, and silk, and scarlet, and all Dian wood, and all manner of vessels of ivory, and all manner of vessels of precious wood, and of brass, and of iron, and of marble, and cinnamon, and odors, and ointments, and frankincense, and wine, and oil, and fine flour, and wheat, and beasts, and sheep, and horses, and chariots, and slaves, and souls of men. So slavery didn't end. It continues. And the fruits that thy soul lusted after are departed from thee, and all things which were dainty and goodly are departed from thee, and thou shalt find them no more. This is the world all about us in which Elohim's people are told to come out of. To do this, we must be on guard night and day. To do this, decisions must be made, questions must be answered, such as, what is our true conviction? Whatever it is, I'm sure we all pray that our convictions have not led us to be lukewarm. Well, let's look back at this so that we remain totally clear regarding our own conviction. Let's go to Revelation 3 and verse 15 and 16. Revelation chapter 3, 15 and 16. Where Yahshua is talking to one of the churches and he says, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. So Yahshua would rather we all be cold or hot, never lukewarm, for if we're lukewarm, he will spew us out of his mouth. What does that mean? Well, the word lukewarm is translated from the Greek word kleros, I think I got that right, which means to be tepid, unenthusiastic. So if we're tepid and unenthusiastic about our calling and being led by the Spirit of truth, he will spew us out of his mouth. In essence, he no longer will be our comforter and intercessor before the Father. Remember, he's spewing us out of his mouth. What do you do with your mouth? You can breathe, but you also primarily do what? You speak. You talk up for people. So he won't be our comforter and intercessor before the Father. Now, the word spew is a Greek word, emeo, See, I put my quotations in the wrong place. Correct that. E-M-E-O, which means to vomit or spit. You're going to vomit or spit it out. This can only mean one other separation from Yahshua, which leads to the ultimate destruction. Now, isn't this similar to another New Covenant protocol that many Hebrew brethren simply refused to accept? Let's briefly revisit again. Remember, I told you, everything, it connects. That's why I repeat so much. It all connects. Go to Yochanan 13 and 8. I don't think this was in the original lesson. Yochanan 13 and 8. Yochanan, and for those who may listen, that is John 13 and 8. Those who've been with me for a while know that when I say Yochanan, and I'm talking about the so-called New Age version, which is John. So verse 8, he says, Peter saith unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Yahshua answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part in me. Verse 13, ye call me master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. If I then, Lord and master, wash your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. Now, is there really any difference between I will spew thee out of my mouth and if I wash thee not, thou hast no part in me? Perhaps these Hebrew brethren simply do not understand that by brothers and sisters doing what HaMashiach commanded his disciples, it is as though HaMashiach himself is washing our feet each Passover. And sadly, this lack of belief in HaMashiach's own words is a representation of the spirit of being lukewarm at its very core. How does one become lukewarm in the first place? In life, we call it many things, like straddling the fence, like seeing both sides yet refusing to choose a side. Being lukewarm in a spiritual context means having knowledge and choosing to play both sides. The Apostle Paul spoke on this in Hebrews chapter 6. We pick it up in verse 4 through 8. Hebrews 6, 4 through 8, where he said, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of Elohim and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucified themselves, the Son of Elohim, afresh, and put him to an open shame. These were once hot. They were enlightened. They were convicted. They understood the plan of salvation, yet they looked back like Lot's wife. Someone planted a seed of tares, which through the lack of faith uprooted their knowledge. They became lukewarm. For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh out upon it and bringeth forth herb meat for them by whom it is dressed receiveth blessing from Elohim, but that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be what? Burn. Yahshua gave us an important blueprint, very important blueprint. Matthew 25 and verse 24. And looks like I'm going to read down through verse 30. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 24 was, then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, thou hast thine. This person had been given a talent, yet refused to allow his light to shine. He knew he had a talent, and yet hid it rather than allow it to grow. In verse 26, his Lord answered and said unto him, wicked, call them wicked and slothful, slothful servants. Thou knewest that I reap where I sow not and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and at my coming I should have received mine own with usury, with interest. Take therefore the talent from him, give it unto him which has the 10 talents. For every one that has shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he had. This talent was given by Elohim. When we recognize the talent, it is meant to grow. The more we grow, the more we eliminate the space in our lives for vanity to creep in. We fill up on righteousness. We begin to become more perfect. If we don't grow, we become lukewarm and allow false doctrines to replace the truth we once knew. We then lose our invitation. Verse 30, and cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is why we over and over are admonished to endure until the end. This is why we are admonished to grow together into one house. We remind each other. Keep the faith. Stay strong. We're here together. We're here for you. What do you need? This is why we're told that a divided house cannot stand. This is why we cannot be fearful as the one talent servant was. We must strive to walk in full confidence in Yahshua, not in man. This walk requires patience and yet due diligence. Luke chapter 12, verse 35. Luke chapter 12. I'm going to read for a while here. I'm going to read down through verse 48. Luke 12, 35 through 48. Yahshua says, let your loins be girded about and your lights burning, and ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord, when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are these servants. So we're supposed to stay prepared, right? That's what they're telling us. And this know, that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through. So this letting us know right now, we have to be on guard at all times. Verse 40, be therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. Now we got the events going on in the world. We don't know what they mean. We don't know if they are preliminary for some greater thing that's just going to all of a sudden kick off. We don't know. So we're supposed to stay prepared. Then the bold one spoke up. Peter said unto him, Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us or even to all? Peter was always the bold one. He wanted to know. Just break it down. We're supposed to come boldly unto the throne. Verse 42, and the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give their portion of meat in due season? That answers Peter's question right there. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth, I say unto you that he will make him ruler over all that he has. Ruler over all that he has. This is why we must always remain hot after we've been given our talents through the Spirit of Truth. Verse 45, But if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and maidens, and to eat and drink and to be drunken. So through a lack of patience, this servant became lukewarm. The Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in sunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant, which knew his Lord's will, you got that right there? That servant knew his Lord's will, So this guy, this is one of the people Paul was talking about. And he prepared not, neither did he walk according to his will. So you knew his will, but you didn't walk against his will. Okay, so you're not cold. And you're not hot. You are lukewarm. Shall be beaten with many, but he that knew not and did commit things worthy of strife shall be beaten with few. That's the cold. For unto whomsoever much is given of him shall be much required, and to whom men have committed much of him they will ask the more. Yes, the path to perfection can also get a little hot in a negative way. Think about it. We're supposed to be like the trees. A tree that no longer grows leaves and fruit is essentially dead. We're supposed to be the salt of the earth. Yet if our salt has lost its flavor, the scripture says it is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden under foot of men. So this walk is not easy. Yet if we continually train our eyes to focus on the straight and narrow path, we will be successful. Each week we are learning of how much Elohim has provided to us about how to become perfect. Consider the following. In the context of spiritual dualism, we know that Elohim's word instructs us to fear both our mothers and fathers. And think about it for a moment. In each household, this is the beginning of perfection. Boys will be trained how to become men by their fathers. Girls would learn how to become women by their mothers. Our communities would grow in the spirit of Yahweh's righteousness, that dualism that began from the very beginning when they said, "Let us make man in our image." Instead of being a community with 70% of the households led by women, we would have stability. Crime would be the exception and not the rule. Each of us must consider, am I contributing to the confusion? After detailing the witnesses of faith, the Apostle Paul said the following. Go to Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. Hebrews 12 and verse 1. Hebrews 12, 1. I'm going to read down to verse 14. Hebrews 12, 1 down through 14. Where it says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking where? Unto Yahshua, looking unto the trunk, the author and finisher of our faith." Look at that. He is the author and the finisher of faith. "Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of Elohim." This was the advice I was given by my European brother in the faith. So does it matter that he was a European? Many of my Hebrew brethren believe so. Yet even they refuse to look truly unto Yahshua. "For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto death, striving against sin. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of Yahweh, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him, for whom Yahweh, or the Lord, loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, Elohim dealeth with you as with sons and daughters. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons or daughters. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seems to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, after it yieldeth the peaceful fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all and holiness, without which no man seeth the Lord. Let's think for a second here. What is one of the key symbolic attributes of being chastened? Well, go read about it in Revelation 3:18-19. Where it says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich in white raiment, that thou mightest be clothed, and the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. We have to be extremely careful not to differentiate out or discern our human desires to be rich with the comforts of this world and our kingdom walk. Remember, to whom much is given, much is required. Yahshua here links fire with chastening from above. Let's consider this gold tried in the fire that Yahshua said we should purchase, that is far more valuable than the riches and increased goods of this world. Gold is the most precious metal on the earth. It can only be refined by fire. Fire is either a devourer or a refiner. We must discern between the devouring fire and the refining fire. Go back to Isaiah. Let's go back to the prophet Isaiah, chapter 30 and verse 25. It is obvious here that if we accept the chastening of Yahshua, he is refining us. He is refining us. So let's take our chastisement humbly. Isaiah says, and there shall be upon every high mountain and upon every high hill rivers and streams of waters in the day of the great slaughter when the towers fall. Moreover, the light of the moon shall be as the light of the sun, and the light of the sun shall be sevenfold as the light of 7 days in the day that Yahweh bindeth up the breach of his people and healeth the stroke of their wound. They've been chastised, haven't they? Big time. Behold, the name of Yahweh cometh from far, burning with anger, with his anger, and the burden is heavy. His lips are full of indignation, and his tongue as a devouring fire. And his breath, as an overcoming stream, shall reach to the midst of the neck, to sift the nations with the sieve of vanity, and shall be a bridle in the jaws of people. That's an interesting statement, right? To sift the nations with the sieve of vanity. Think that might be happening right now? And a bridle in the jaws of the people, causing them to do what? To err. Could that be happening right now? Ye shall have a song, as in the night, a holy solemnity is kept, and gladness of heart, as when one goeth with a pipe to come into the mountain of Yahweh, to the mighty one of Israel. Verse 30, and Yahweh shall cause his glorious voice to be heard, and shall shew the lightning down of his arm with the indignation of his anger, and with the flame of a devouring fire, with scattering and tempests and hailstones. The prophet Isaiah likens the tongue of Yahweh as a devouring fire to all his enemies. The gold we purchase must be tried in the fire. Look at what David said about Yahweh's word. 2 Samuel 22 and 31 through 33. 2 Samuel 22, 31 through 33. It says, Elohim, his way is perfect. The word of Yahweh is tried. He is a buckler to all them that trust him. For who is Elohim save Yahweh? And who is a rock save Elohim? Elohim is my strength and power, and he maketh my way perfect. Elohim's way is perfect, and the word of Yahweh is tried. The prophet Malachi prepared us, rather. Malachi prepared us for this gold to be purchased. Look at Malachi 3, 1 through 3. Malachi verses, chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. Malachi. He says, behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And Yahweh, whom ye seek, shall suddenly come to his temple. And he did. Even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, says Yahweh of hosts. But who rather, may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? He is what? Like a refiner's fire. That's what we want. Like fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them in gold and silver, that they may offer unto Yahweh an offering in righteousness. His appearance was to be like a refiner's fire. So if he is the refiner and also said to be a consuming fire, his words have been tried in the fire from above. The word of Yahweh is mentioned throughout the Old Covenant. Let's remember how Yahweh revealed himself to Samuel. Look at 1 Samuel 3 and 21. 1 Samuel 3 and 21. 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 21, where it says, then Yahweh appeared again in Shiloh. But Yahweh revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh. How? By the word of Yahweh. Well, let's look at how Balaam spoke to Balak. Remember, it was Balaam who spoke to that donkey. Numbers chapter 22, verses 17 through 18. Numbers 22, 17 through 18, where it says, for I will promote thee unto very great honor, and I will do whatsoever thou sayest unto me. Come therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people. And Balaam answered and said unto the servants of Balak, if Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of Yahweh, my Elohim, to do less or more. Balaam chose to remain hot. The gold Balak offered had not been tried by fire. Balaam made it plain as a lesson for all generations to come. He was convicted to not go beyond the word of Yahweh, his Elohim. This is how it must be for all who would be hot rather than cold or lukewarm. The entire Bible, whether Old Covenant or New Covenant, has made this very clear. Look at Yochanan chapter 1, verse 1. Yochanan chapter 1, verse 1 through 5. Yochanan chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. We know it. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with Elohim, and the Word was Elohim. The same was in the beginning with Elohim. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life. And the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Again, through the old covenant, the children of Israel were led by the word of Yahweh. His disciples, who became his apostles, recognized exactly who he was. He was the Word. He would speak plainly to his disciples. And remember, as the Word, he earlier said, I will spew you out of my mouth if you lukewarm at it. Look at Yochanan chapter 6 and verse 62. Yochanan chapter 6 and verse 62. Two verses, 62 and 63. It says, what and if ye shall see the Son of Man that ascend where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, a spirit and our life. This is the gold tried by the fire, the word of Yahweh, now Yahshua. And this is what all his apostles really taught. Go to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 24 and 25. 1 Peter chapter 1, 24 and 25. Where it says, "For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of Yahweh endureth forever." In your version, probably says the word of the Lord. That's okay. "And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you." Now, we today live and exist during the times of the new covenant, brought to us by Yahweh, come in the flesh in the Father's name, Yahshua. Go to Yochanan chapter 5, 43 through 47. Yochanan 5, 43 through 47, where he says, "I am come in my Father's name." Believe it or not, there are a lot of people in the household of faith that do not know this. "And ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. How can ye believe, which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from Elohim only? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses." He's talking to the Yehudans here, to those people. That's all he believed in. In whom you trust. "But had you believed, brother Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe in my words?" Somehow the children of Israel stopped growing and believing. The Sabbath and holy days became rituals. Sadly, even today, many perform these same rituals in Yahshua's name, yet refuse to grow with Yahshua's words of the new covenant. These are not considered fully what it means to be cold, hot, or lukewarm. For an example, there are those who believe that the new covenant changes nothing from the old covenant. Knowing that Yahshua is Yahweh, or as some call him, Jehovah, they cite the following two scriptures. You're familiar with these. Malachi 3:6 is the first one. He says, "By Yahweh I change not. Therefore ye sons of Yaakov are not consumed. I change not, says Yahweh. And because of it, you sons of Jacob, or Yaakov, are not consumed." And then there's Hebrews 13:8, where it says, "Yahshua HaMashiach, the same yesterday and today and forever." So, if we are to be like Balaam and not go beyond the word of Yahweh here, I said Yahshua in my notes. No more, no less, we must allow what Yahshua has spoken to give us discernment and not man. Because of these two scriptures, many teach that this means all the laws of the Old Covenant, except for the sacrificial law, remain in force. Of course, that means it's the law of circumcision. And it's primarily when discussing that law they bring that up. So thus, the instruction to Yahshua's disciples to follow his example of foot washing is not a commandment, and the physical circumcision commandment remains. However, if we believe that we are amongst Yahshua's called out ones, we need to do what? We need to study to show ourselves approved. So let's look at the first scripture in Malachi. The children of Israel were constantly admonished to repent, to return, and accept the mercies of Elohim. Here Yahweh is saying to the children of Israel that because he doesn't change, they are not consumed. The question that must be considered is, what is it that did not change with Yahweh that allowed the children of Israel to not be consumed? Rather than interpret, let's allow the context of the statement to minister unto us. Go back to Malachi, pick it up at chapter 3 and verse 7. Malachi 3 and verse 7. Malachi 3 and verse 7. I got my pages mixed up here. No, I'm right. 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 Okay. It says, even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith Yahweh of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? So Yahweh reminds the children of Israel that they have not abided in his ordinances given to their fathers. He then says unto them, return unto me. What does that mean? It means repent. And I will return unto you. We remember our study long ago about the first uses of the word repent. It meant to return to Yahweh and his commandments. Verse 8. Will a man rob Elohim? Ye have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? He says, in tithes and offerings. Ye curse with a curse. For ye have robbed me, this whole nation. Bring me all the tithes into the storehouses, and there shall be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith Yahweh of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. You won't have room enough to receive it. Tithes and offerings are generally considered to be money. However, it may also entail other offerings, such as the giving of ourselves and spiritual and our spiritual gifts to the poor. The widows, household of faith. Notice what the reward is for their giving. Verse 11. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. We know who the devourer is. He shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your wine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith Yahweh of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith Yahweh of hosts. Isn't this the same promise the children of Israel were given in the beginning of the Old Covenant? For obedience, they will be a peculiar people, a holy people, and all the other nations would see the blessings bestowed upon them by Yahweh. Yahweh would be their protector. Verse 16. Then they that feared Yahweh spake often one to another, and Yahweh hearkened and heard. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared Yahweh and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith Yahweh's host. In that day, here we go, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them, as a man spareth his own son to serveth him. Then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth Elohim and him that serveth him not. So, we see that Yahweh never changed his promise to forgive and protect the children of Israel if they return to him in righteousness. This promise remains even unto this day. It does not mean that there would not be anything new when his covenant, new covenant rather, would be given. And secondly, when the writer of Hebrews said that Yahshua is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, isn't this the same concept, knowing that Yahshua and Yahweh are one and the same? Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 1. Hebrews 13, 1 through 7. Hebrews 13, 1 through 7. He says, let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being ourselves also in the body. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers Elohim will judge. Your conversation be without covetousness. Be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, Yahweh is the Lord, rather is my helper. And I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of Elohim, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. As we read through these verses, haven't we learned that the second great commandment given in the past to the children of Israel, also given unto us today and will stand forever, is love? Didn't the apostle Peter testify that Yahshua's words endure forever? from one age to another. Verses 1 to 6 simply echo that second commandment. Verse 6 is simply a reminder of what Malachi spoke. Yahshua's promise to stand yesterday, today, and forever. Those that rule over us in verse 7 are those that speak Yahshua's words to us, who in faith we are to follow, beginning with the apostles. In this context, verse 8 says, Yahshua HaMashiach, the same yesterday, today, and forever. So how can the children of Israel today openly assert their disagreement with the servants ordained by Yahweh / Yahshua himself to teach us the new covenant? Yahshua must be our foundation. His word, and only his word, must be our foundation. Now, in recognizing this, we need to further discern something of utmost importance. Let's look at Matthew chapter 22 and verse 1. Matthew 22. It says, and the Lord answered and spake unto them by parables. Verse 2, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son. The king is the father. Yeshua is the son. Verse 3, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding. They would not come. Wow. Again, he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden. Behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen, my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come into the marriage. As we read these scriptures, who was first bidden or invited to the wedding? Was it not the children of Israel? Verse 5, but they made light of it and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise, and the remnant took his servants and treated them spitefully and slew them. These servants were treated spitefully were the prophets and the apostles and those that walked with them. Verse 7, but when the king heard, he was wroth and sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. Then said he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye find, be it to the marriage. And that is what's going on today. We know when that city was burned, I think. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both good and bad. Cold and hot here. And the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not a wedding garment. And he said unto him, friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot, and take him away and cast him into the outer darkness. There should be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few chosen. So this guy who came to the wedding ceremony in the wrong garment, he had been called. If he was called, that means he knew a little truth. Understand what we're reading here. The parable has three different sets of servants being sent out to invite men to the son's wedding. The first invitation in verse 3 was sent by the prophets. They would not come. The second invitation was sent by the apostles. And let's remember this. Look at Matthew 10 and verse 5. Matthew 10 and verse 5. 10 verses 5 through 7 of Matthew. It says, these 12 the Lord sent forth and commanded them, go not into the way of the nations, the Gentiles, and into the city of Samaria. Enter ye not, but go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The disciples were first sent only to the children of Israel. Verses 5 and 6 of chapter 22 show that they were not only rejected the invitation, they also treated their disciples spitefully and killed some of them. As we read through the context of the books of the New Covenant, this prophecy is clearly documented. In verse 7, we see that the Father in heaven was wroth with anger and sent forth his armies to destroy and burn up the city. What city? History documents that the armies of Rome, the fourth beast, destroyed Jerusalem in 70 AD and again in 135 AD. The Romans killed thousands of Yehudans, the remnant which remained primarily from the house of Yehuda. We know that there were some from the house of Israel now that was amongst them after being taken away from Babylon. In verse 8, we're told that the children of Israel were not worthy. So in verse 9, he sent his servants, beginning with the apostles, Peter and Paul, into the highways to invite others. They were to invite the good and the bad. Who are these? They are those who have a spirit of right from wrong, yet know not Yahweh's commandments. And there are those who don't have this spirit of right and wrong. A prime example of the bad would be the Apostle Paul himself, who prior to his invitation, he was a murderer. He was cold at that time, not lukewarm. This is what is in process even as we live today. The servants in verse 10 are all Yahshua's apostles and those who were called out and chosen to bring the new covenant from 70 AD until the end of the millennium. Why do I say this? We know that up until the millennium, only those who were called and chosen will enter into Yahshua's kingdom. At the end of this 1,000-year period, the following will happen. Let's read this. We've read it before, Revelations 20:11-14 of Revelations. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before Elohim, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. The sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. Death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. This is when both the good and the bad that were not called and chosen as and a part of the first resurrection were invited. This is why he said he would rather be cold or hot. The cold and the hot still have an opportunity for salvation. The cold are ignorant of truth. The lukewarm stand on shaky ground. Notice what happens next. Look at Revelation 21. Pick it up at verse 1. It says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, Yochanan, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from Elohim out of heaven, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of Elohim is with men, and he will dwell with them. And they shall be his people, and Elohim himself shall be with them and be their Elohim. And Elohim shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that thirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. Are we athirst, everybody? He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his Elohim, and he shall be my son. But the fearful, the unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire, the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. It's noted at the second resurrection, they were invited. The good and the bad. Why? Because these represent what I believe to be the cold. Even though the children of Israel were destroyed physically, they were not destroyed spiritually. They had a promise that still stands. They were primarily ignorant, and like all others, they will be purged. For us, the trials we are encountering is for our endurance. We all know that nothing we are bearing is more than we can handle. Why? Because Yahshua's word spoken by his apostle Paul says it. 1 Corinthians 10:13. We've read this recently. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, There is no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But Elohim is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Then his word spoken by his apostle Peter says this in 1 Peter chapter 4 and 12 as we begin to wind down. 1 Peter chapter 4, 12 through 19. 1 Peter 4, 12 through 19, where he says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice in as much as ye are partakers of HaMashiach's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye may be reproached for the name of HaMashiach, happy. For the spirit of glory and of Elohim resteth upon you. On their part he is evil speaking of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of us, none of you rather, suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify Elohim on this behalf. For the time," check this out, "for the time that judgment must begin at the house of Elohim. And if it first with us, what shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of Elohim? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of Elohim commit the keeping of their souls in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator." And we know that the Creator is Yeshua HaMashiach. It is up to us, to each of us, to make our calling and election sure. Verse 17 lets us know that those being called and chosen now are those servants spoken of in Matthew 22:9-10. Verse 17 also represents the duality of Scripture. Remember, the children of Israel were the church in the wilderness. They were given a name that represented Elohim. Of those living during the Old Covenant, judgment will begin with them. We've read this. The Apostle Paul reads it. We studied this now. We know the following prophecy must be fulfilled. Look at Ezekiel chapter 20, 33 through 38. Ezekiel 20. 33 through 38, where it says, "As I live, says Yahweh of Elohim, surely with a mighty hand, with a stretched out arm, and with fury poured out, will I rule over you." A lot of people in the household of faith don't know this. "And I will bring you out from the people, and will gather you out of the countries wherein you are scattered, with a mighty hand, and with a stretched out arm, and with fury poured out. And I will bring you into the wilderness of the people, and there will I plead with you face to face, like as I pleaded with your fathers in the wilderness of the land of Egypt. So will I plead with you, says Yahweh Elohim, and I will cause you to pass under the rod, and I will bring you into the bond of the covenant." A few years back, Brother Gary and my wife and I were amongst a lot of our brothers and sisters in Jamaica, and we were just sitting having an afternoon discussion together, and they had never heard about this rod. And I remember, so I read it to them, and boy, it was silence in the room. They had never heard this before. Wow. Verse 38, "And I will purge out from among you the rebels and them that transgress against me. I will bring them forth out of the country wherein they sojourn, and they shall not enter into the land of Israel. Ye shall know that I am Yahweh. Whether we are cold, hot, or lukewarm, we all shall come under some form of a rod at a time chosen for each of us. The reward for the lukewarm is established. The reward for the cold and the hot is yet to be determined. For the hot, those being called out during this new covenant age, we have been told over and over that we must endure until the end. As such, our judgment is upon us until the end. The purging of the called out ones is in session today." Matthew 22:11-13 reminds each of us that our garments must be cleansed. We can only be cleansed by the precious blood of the Lamb of Elohim. We cannot be cleansed by our own blood or the blood of animals. The cleansing by Yahshua's blood leads us to a continuing greater understanding of his words as told by the prophets and the apostles. Remember this in Ephesians chapter 2, 19 and 20. Actually, 19 through 22. "Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of Elohim." And you're built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Yahshua HaMashiach himself being the chief corner. He's the chief corner. He is the trunk in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into an holy temple in Yahweh, in whom ye are also builded together for an habitation of Elohim through the Spirit. I believe that each of us are in the process of joining others that have chosen Yahshua's words as our guide to salvation. We've chosen to be hot. If so, we are surrounded by various forms of fire that will try us as long as we are in these earthly tabernacles. After a long summer, this is obviously why we have the Feast of Tabernacles to look forward to. 7 days of stepping away and reinvigorating ourselves in the spirit of Yahshua, remembering that we still exist during those 7 days in tabernacles, before then observing that bonus day, the 8th day of tabernacles, looking forward to another form of tabernacles that are awaiting us. That is, if we remain hot. We know that the righteousness of Yahweh is in all his commandments. We read this all the time in Psalms 119 and 172 through 176, where he says, "My tongue shall speak thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness." Wow. Read that again. "For my tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness." So he speaks of thy word, and all thy commandments are righteousness. Yahshua, Yahweh, when he came, what did he say? "My words, they are spirit and truth." And what does he say? "All my sayings, obey them." You see the continuity, how it all fits. "Let thine hand help me, for I have chosen thy precepts." Is that what we've chosen? "I have longed for thy salvation, O Yahweh, and thy law is my delight. Let my soul live, and it shall praise thee, and let thy judgments help me. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments." So we love to quote, "For all thy commandments are righteousness," don't we? Yet we sometimes fail to recognize that David also said, "My tongue shall speak of thy word." And in so doing, we fail to recognize that all of Yahweh's words are spirit and they are life. We read this earlier in Yochanan chapter 13, verse 8, where Peter said, "Thou shalt never wash my feet." Yahshua answered, "If I wash thee not, thou hast no part in me." If we fail to accept his words to Peter and so teach others to do the same, we are like the children of Israel. We reject Yahshua's invitation. Look at Galatians 5, 2 through 4. Galatians 5, 2 through 4, as we wind this lesson down. Galatians, and actually as we close this lesson out, Galatians 5, 2 through 4, where he says, "Behold, I, Paul, one of those apostles, say unto you, that if ye be circumcised, Hamashiach shall profit ye nothing." He's actually saying here, if you become, the "be" there is in that tense, if you become circumcised. Remember, he's talking to called out ones. He's not talking to the John blowout on the streets. He's talking to called out ones. "If ye become circumcised, Yahshua shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, or that becomes circumcised, after he's been called, after he's been baptized, after he's repented, Hamashiach has come, is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace." You just became lukewarm. If we fail to accept that the apostles' words were given by Yahweh and so teach others to do the same, we reject Yahshua's invitation. This year, the household of faith is being tested, perhaps like none other before. We read the prophecies of impending events that will be like none before it. Now, we have events that are testing each of us. This is not a message of condemnation. However, it is a lesson about our spiritual stamina. Each member of the household of faith has been drawn, called, and chosen to train for spiritual leadership. As we face the events of modernity 2020, are we allowing ourselves to once again return to coldness? Or if we are, we're becoming lukewarm. And you see, this is not a viable option for us. We each have stepped out of the realm of the coal once we repented years ago and were buried with HaMashiach in baptism. He now is our Passover. We were then given our talents. Now, the only question for each of us is whether or not we are lukewarm and tepid or hot. Are we beaming with the anticipation of the upcoming appointed times in spite of the worldwide efforts rather to thwart us? Have we grown any spiritually between the last appointed time and now? How will we appear before Elohim on the memorial of the blowing of trumpets? How will we afflict our souls on the Day of Atonement? What will be our offering before Elohim for the commanded 8 days of tabernacling this year? Will our obstacles overcome us, or will we be hot and continually growing and bathing in the consuming fire of Yahshua HaMashiach's words? Together, let us not allow anything, whether it be our own vanities or any other spirit, defraud us of our ultimate goal. Let each of us continually allow Yahshua in to sup with us, and let us never forget to follow Yahshua and not man. Shalom, everybody. I pray that this reenactment of a lesson I did 3 years ago, sort of updated it a little bit, was a blessing unto you. It's sort of a reminder of our calling and of the commitment that we've made and of the admonishment from above to not allow our calling to become lukewarm, that we must remain hot. We are not cold. We've entered into that hot realm. Question for us is not to fall back headed towards coldness, which for us would make us lukewarm. So I hope that's clear to everybody, and I hope it was a blessing unto you as it was unto me. And with that, if there are any questions and or comments, speak up, dear brothers and sisters. Who out there has become tepid? Well, I keep hearing a click. Hey, Marsha. Oh, she left. Okay. I hope that's not a signal. Any comments by anybody that's left? Any thoughts?
Marsha.
Oh, Marsha left and she came back.
I was actually putting on my phone to make a comment and I hit the end button.
I kind of figured out what you had done. I made a comment about it.
Right? Yeah, I was going to say, once again, great lesson, and I just feel like, the scripture you read back in Revelation where it's saying that I know thy works, that thou neither cold or hot. I would thou wert cold or hot, but it's lukewarm, so I guess it just brings me back to that, parent-child relationship in the sense that, I know you,
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want you to be like this, but if you are, choose a side, but not the middle, because if you do, you know what I'm going to do to you, you know, that kind of. So, yeah, that I feel like, yeah, I feel like that scripture kind of just sums up our relationship with Christ. You know, he wants us to be obedient, you know, mm-hmm. and he's saying, if you aren't, there's a price to pay for it, you know.
Particularly after you have become high.
Absolutely.
Particularly after you become high. I'm in total agreement with you. It is a stark warning that he's given to us because he loves us.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
He's not doing it just to do it. He actually loves us, and he's telling us, listen, I want to bless you.
Absolutely. I want you to get it right. I want you, you know.
Yes. But if after I've shown you, I've given mm-hmm. you my spirit, you got my spirit, you know, my spirit is teaching you these things. Do you have the faith in me to know that I'm going to bring you through all this? Please do not become lukewarm. Please don't
absolutely.
Do it. I tell you, it is I totally agree with you, Marcia. It is clear. I think it's very clear to us. If it wasn't clear to us years ago, it should be clear to us now.
Absolutely.
And, it should be very clear to us. So I thought it was a timely message for right now, for what mm-hmm. we're going through. You know, with the virus and all, with the whatever. You hear so much crap these days, but forget all the crap. Right now, what he's petitioning us, regardless of what we got to go through. If you, Marcia, you, everybody else in line, we have heard of the, have you all heard of the black flu?
The who?
That hit Europe, the black flu that hit Europe. I forgot when. But it actually, Black Plague, Black Plague. It killed millions.
Yeah.
The book tells us we ain't gone through nothing that is not coming to man. It killed millions.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've been told already that it's going to get hot. I mean, not hot in the sense of the word. It's going to get hot in terms of life. But the question for us is, do we remain hot towards Yahshua? That's the question. And that's something he's challenging us. Stay hot. Yeah. Don't become lukewarm. Regardless of what happens, who it happens from, stay hot. And that's the challenge. That is the challenge.
Even in this day that we're living in, you know, and I'm sure everyone will agree, you're just more and more thankful for the word. You know, we see the craziness happening all around us, and you're just like, you know, you feel blessed to know that you're staying the course, you know, even amidst the craziness that's happening.
Even amidst the craziness that's happening. Exactly. You know, it's getting to the point, I don't know how you guys feel about it, but you can't, it's rough to pick, you know, to look at a new television program that's highlighting our people. Have you all looked at any of these programs recently? Anybody? You, Marcia, anybody else?
No.
I have. Not that I looked at it, but I flipped through stations and come across it. And I tell you, it's hard to find anything depicting life in the black community today that's even close to anything that's hot with Elohim's word. Anything. And it seems as though we're just getting more and more caught up into vanity. I don't know who's producing these programs. Well, we know a few people. These programs are taking our people. It's like our, you know, the new, it's almost like new soap operas that are black. These are sitcoms. These are serious. Like that one that I mentioned to you guys before, Sisters. That's nothing but a soap opera. It just comes on at night, not during the daytime, like the daytime soaps, right? But it comes on at night. That's all it is. But if you look at the content of what they're showing that's happening in our community, early in the lesson, remember we talked about the fathers and mothers
mm-hmm.
and what they depict, not only to the family but to the community? What life would be like if that now we got these factions within our community that actually have taken over a major part of our communities, at least in the media. They're really being welcomed by the media these days. But that faction is out to rid us of that picture of father and mother. And if we're looking at some of these pictures that are on TV, you're seeing it playing out right before your eyes. The gradual push for us. And it's interesting to me that it seems to be more prevalent in black pictures than in pictures of other cultures, and primarily the European culture. That is interesting to me. And so it almost appears that, yeah, you got this big spirit out here pushing the descendants of the Pan-African slave trade to eliminate what our forefathers learned spiritually. Because one thing our forefathers did know spiritually, even though they were deceived about Sunday, Christmas, and all that, one thing they were not deceived about was a strong family led by a mother and a husband. They weren't deceived by that. Where I grew up in Alabama, most of the families, all my friends, these were marriages that lasted 50, 60, or more years. This was the standard in our community. Where has that standard gone? Think about this, everybody. Think about that. That standard is disappearing before our very eyes. So in the midst of all this other stuff we're seeing, I just saw on the news before, as I was waiting for you guys to come on, I looked at the news on my computer. And like I told you, I haven't checked out any news this week. But I saw a news report that says that right now the children of quote-unquote African-Americans and Hispanics starting to make up the largest group of people catching the virus. Have you all heard that before? Anybody?
I heard earlier in early on we talked about becoming large percentage.
Michelle is saying she heard early on about blacks making up. This was something today that was talking about black children.
Okay, yeah.
Black children, and children of black and Hispanics. How is that happening? And that's a rhetorical question. I don't expect anybody to come up with an answer on that. I'm just throwing things out there to say that, you know, as we are thinking about being hot or cold, it's almost like our people have become lukewarm. In a metaphorical sense. Does that make sense to anybody? Am I just talking off the top of my head?
Yes.
I heard one yes here.
Yes, it makes sense.
It's sad, too, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It's sad. We've lost our heritage. The heritage that we have had before, we have lost it and are losing it. And that's sad. That is happening right before our very eyes. And it's almost like there's this little sprinkling right now, Mark and others, that the time of Yaku's trouble has started. Do you all get that feeling sometimes? The time of, yes, we on the verge of it. We know that the ultimate is going to happen, of course, when we go under the rod, when Christ returns. We know that. But right now, look, the fact is that all these things are happening to us right now more so than other cultures. So that means our children are if our children are catching the virus, they're dying. And we already know that our men are being killed on a daily basis. So we're living in a very unique time, and the question we don't know is going to get worse. But this is what I do believe, and maybe this lesson, as Marshall, this was timely because in the midst of all this, we are being asked to stay hot. And I said, we have to be hot because we can't say we are cold because we know too much. Is everybody agreeing with that? I don't think we are in that cold category. He said he'd rather you be hot or cold.
Yeah, I agree,
but,
my brother. In cold.
We ain't cold. So being that we're not cold, we don't want to be lukewarm. That means we got to stay hot. And so, in the midst of all of this, go ahead. Somebody was trying to talk, it sounded like. Okay, my bad. So, that's just my perspective on it. We in the midst of all this, we have this thing reminding us that, hey, we can't be looking backwards. We actually are supposed to be growing in our understanding, and guess what? In our service to Elohim. So the question for each of us is look at where we are right now in our walk, and where are we, and have we grown? Are we being like that servant that was given the talent, and he buried the talent? So maybe that's the question. Maybe that should have been the title of the lesson. Have we buried our talent? That might be a good lesson. What do y'all guys think? Have we buried our talent? And I'm talking to myself as much as I am to each of you. Have we buried our talent? Because for everything I'm saying in asking you a question, I'm asking myself the exact same question. Have we buried our talent? This year, it's going to be the first time in a long time that Michelle and I do not attend the feast in Jamaica. And when people learn that I toot a little saxophone, and I tell all of them, the only place I play is in Jamaica. And when I go to Jamaica, I'm expected to be ready to play. Those who know it and have experienced it, Gary and my wife, they know that I don't know what is going to be there, but I'm expected to come, be ready to play when somebody says, Donald, I need you to play with me today. I'm expected to be ready to play. And you know what? I actually take joy in the fact that they have the confidence in me to do it. I take joy in that. That's a part of my offering. And I feel also blessed that they desire to hear it. And so, you know, I've learned over the years to take it serious and be ready. And so, you know, it's something for us to think about, all of us. Where have we come from yesterday in our spiritual walks until this day? Are we improving? And are we being careful to not slip back into whatever? But are we growing? Are we improving? Are we becoming better Christians? Are we becoming closer? And we know we got a challenge right now amongst all of us. Because now, according to this challenge, we can't fellowship. Regardless if we wanted to fellowship, we're being questioned. Even though there are others, there are some that we know who are fighting through it. Our brothers and sisters in Jamaica, they still are having services. They learn how to social distance, and they do wear the mask, but they are fellowshipping. And there are others who have found other ways to do so as well. So there though, now we got a challenge about tabernacles, but, you know, I think if we remain faithful, Elohim is going to provide. And so we're in communication with some about it, and we'll make our decisions. I do believe Gary is still going to Jamaica. Am I right, Gary?
Yes, sir.
I think he's still going. So we're going to be in prayer about him traveling to Jamaica. One of the reasons we also are not going is because we as tourists would be severely restricted there. It might not be so much for Gary because, I don't know, do you carry dual citizenship, Gary?
No.
Okay, so you're an American citizen?
Yeah.
Okay.
You can't hear me. You're Jamaican, though.
Yeah, so all you got to do is open your mouth. You remember, Gary, the time we went up the Don River and we let you do the talking, but the sister, right. She kept trying to get me to talk. She said, I want him to talk, man. You shut up. Let him talk. I wouldn't say a word so that we can get the Jamaican rape. We just let Gary talk. And she just laughed. I wouldn't say a word. No, come on, man. Talk to me. You talk to me. Not a word coming out of my mouth. That was too funny. But anyway, I've talked enough. Anybody else got a comment tonight about anything that they want to say? Anything. If not, thank you all once again for being there. Marcia, wish you safe travels from Lake Geneva whenever y'all return back to this way, you and your family. Take care of yourselves. Be safe. Bless up to everybody on the Sabbath tomorrow. And I pray that it is a continued blessing unto each and every one of you. Being as though there's no other comment from anybody, I'll offer the offering once again. Anybody else have any comment tonight? All right. As I said before, I don't know if it'll be this week or next week or whatever, but I've been asked to consider coming and doing a presentation with the Jamaican Brethren on Zoom again. And so I've only said that I look into it. I haven't said I was going to do it, but I know now that in doing so, I'll have to change up some of my wording somewhat, and even be a little bit more specific and detailed in some of my explanations, recognizing that there are some things that some of the household of faith just have not been taught in bringing some things that we've read, bringing them together. For instance, you guys remember when I did the atonement thing, I did not go into the forgiveness aspect of atonement, and when I probably should. I made some assumptions that everybody knew that atonement was all about forgiveness. And so when we are forgiven, it's not that our sins are taken here or taken there. They're forgotten about. I took some of those things for granted when I probably shouldn't have. So I have to be a better teacher when I do those type lessons. And so I will do one in the future. I'll let you guys know if I'm going to do it. Oh, and by the way, now that my project here is over, I will be looking into doing these lessons on Zoom. I did look into it. There's a small cost. The cost is not the issue. That's not even an issue, so I'm not even bringing that up to be an issue. The version, there's a free version, but the free version is very limited, so we won't go with that version. But it's not about the cost. It's about me just learning how to set it up. I haven't done it before. Remember when I set up the website? That took some time. I don't expect the Zoom thing to take some time. So I will be looking into it soon. I don't want to promise this week, but it's coming within the next 2 weeks that I will be looking into it. And at that point in time, we're going to change up a little bit. We're going to start presenting the lessons over Zoom. And that I want to look into what that allows in terms of recording, because what I may do, even though we do it on Zoom, I still may also open the conference line up for recording purposes, if you understand what I'm saying. I don't know what the recording capabilities of Zoom are. And if any of you all know, well, feel free to let me know what to look for. And with that, everybody, I'm going to close this out with a small prayer and wish everybody a good rest of the Sabbath. So let us bow our heads, everybody. Father Elohim, we come before you once again in prayer in total thanksgiving, Father, for your being with us and keeping us, for keeping us safe through the events that are going on in the world, for allowing us to continually come before you on your Sabbaths, Father. We thank you for the knowledge of your Sabbath that you've given each and every member on this Bible study. We thank you, Father, for letting us know about its past, letting us know the glorious understanding of the future that awaits us, Father, particularly if we, Father, can continue in our walk in being mindful of the possibility of becoming lukewarm. We thank you for your word, Father, for it keeping us in a erect moment in our lives, Father, so that we can guard against falling back into the ways of the world, or the ways that perhaps the world or any other in our lives, Father, may be pushing us toward, that would put us in that category of lukewarm. As we are now, Father, in the midst of our summer, this is when the challenge is greater before us, Father, and we are constantly in need of you, so our thankfulness to you grows, Father, even so much more so during this time period, knowing that we need you to help us through these days of summer. And as we look forward, Father, to the end of the spiritual year, appointed times, Father, we pray that the talent that you have shared with us, Father, that we are growing them. And we know that those talents are primarily in your word and in our understanding your word and in our keeping your words. Your son says, Father, to know his words, his things, and not keep them, that puts us in a really rotten place, Father. Tonight we learn a little bit more about being lukewarm, Father. So we pray for each member of this Bible study, Father, that your spirit of truth will continually dwell with us, Father. Will continually bring things back to our memory, Father, and give us, Father, even a greater faith that we maintain. And in maintaining, Father, we do not allow ourselves to become lukewarm. And I pray, Father, that as brothers and sisters, that we will show love towards one another, Father, to help one another to continually grow, so that we do not slip back, Father. So we thank you for the opportunities, Father. We pray that we will grow in our talents, Father. We pray, Father, that we will learn how to allow our talents to be used even greater than we have in the past, Father. And we pray, Father, that as we continue this walk, help us to remember to become as little children as your Son has desired us to be. And I pray, Father, that for the entire household of faith, that we will continually, Father, grow towards the oneness that both you and your Son desire of us. So we pray, Father, that you will continually be with us, continually be with our families, Father, and in particular, be with our children, Father. They need you. They need your spirit. They need the comfort to be with them, to protect them, Father, to guide them, to just be a barrier around them, Father, from the ways of this world. Be with them, Father. Care for them. Continually teach them what is right from wrong, Father. Help them to be respectful of their parents. But, Father, we pray for the parents. We know that these are trying times for all parents, Father, in how they would deal with the school system, how they would deal with this world that is all about them, Father. We pray that the parents, Father, would stay strong and led by your spirit, Father, that they can guide their children in accordance with your word. So, Father in heaven, we pray for all the household of faith, particularly those, Father, who are going through physical challenges this day, Father. You know them. We ask, Father, in your holy name for their healing, that you would be with them. First, as we make our decisions about the Feast of Tabernacles, Father, bless us, Father. Help us to understand your will, Father, where we should share, where who we should fellowship with. Guide us, Father, as we make these decisions, Father. Bless our Sabbath day tomorrow, Father, and our fellowship with whomever we would fellowship with, Father. Bless it, Father, and strengthen the messages that will be shared with us, Father, and the music and the exhortations that we will hear, Father. Bless the singers, Father, and bless our ears, Father, that we will hear your word. And Father, for those who will go back into the world in our place of employment in the week to come, Father, we pray that you would send forth your spirit with them, Father, to go before them, to clear their pathways, Father, to protect them, to guide them, and bless their decisions, Father. Bless them in these places where they're having to work for people with for people who do not know who they truly are, Father. We pray that you guide them, Father, and help them to endure and indeed to overcome. And now, Father, we just give you thanks for all things, for the food, for the water, for the shelter, for our vehicles, Father, for the air we breathe, Father, the sun, the moon. We thank you and praise you, Father, for all things, and help us to remember one another, Father, in prayer and our being there for one another. We give you praise, glory, and honor in the name of your Son, Yeshua. We do pray. Thanks, everybody. Marcia and Christopher, I will be having dinner with our friend on Tuesday with Tyra. Yeah, we're going to hook up on Tuesday. She goes back, what is it, I think Wednesday next week? Is that right, Michelle? Something like that, the 13th. That's when she returns back. So we've communicated a little bit, and she doesn't have a car. She's actually working remotely while she's here. So her time has been kind of crazy. What we noticed last week was that they had a joint choir singing last week.
Yeah,
and Tyra was one of them. I don't know if y'all noticed that.
Yeah, I saw, but I assumed that was where she was.
Well, no.
Like back in Atlanta.
Well, and so actually I texted her just to find out, and she fellowships with several groups, apparently. And she's not in her once role at the Israel God there, but she apparently still maintains close relationship. And if I recall, she and the choir director there, they were extremely close as friends. And so that remains. And so she still practices with their choir, even though she's not a normal participant in terms of fellowship there as she once was. So you know, and she inquired about getting together before she left. And so we were trying to come up with something. So we're going, there's a vegan restaurant out in Oak Park, and she lives close to Oak Park. Remember, she's on the west side.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're going to hook up at this vegan restaurant on Tuesday. They close at 8 o'clock, so I guess we'll probably hit there around 6 or so in Oak Park on Tuesday. So I'm looking forward to that. I haven't seen her since you all know when, and we haven't really talked. we haven't really talked. So it'll be a blessing to see her, you know?
Yeah, oh, please
absolutely.
Tell her we said hi.
Yes, please do. Please.
Definitely I will. You know, I'm sure she's going to ask about both of y'all. And but I wanted to let you know, yeah, I am hooking up with her. So I am looking forward to it, you know?
Yep.
Keep her in prayer. She has asked for prayer for her son, Elijah, the oldest boy. You know, he's of that age now, young man.
mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
So the challenge
is that, and then you got COVID, and, you know, they're in Georgia, so that has some additional problems. I've seen some people from Georgia kind of make some posts about, you know, their children in high school and so forth and so on. And so, that's appropriate at this time. So,
yes,
absolutely.
Definitely so. So keep him in prayer. Keep all the children in prayer, as we keep all of your children in prayer at the same. So, and but
absolutely.
Hold on a second. Go ahead.
When you think about it, those teen years is kind of an example of potentially to go cold or lukewarm.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's an interesting point.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
As a matter of fact,
so
it's
got it right.
Later. and he's what? He just turned 17, I think. Yeah.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
That you're absolutely right, Michelle. That is white with potential right there, you know. And so she has asked for prayer from other Bible groups. So. I'm sure she doesn't mind me mentioning it now to keep him in prayer, you know. So as we try to keep all our children in prayer, but particularly for him entering into this time, right? Think about this. He's getting closer to that age of responsibility.
mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
He's getting closer to it, you know. And it seems like today, thinking about what Michelle just said, it's possible that the evil one is increasing his efforts towards those of our youth that are nearing that age. Ain't that something?
Oh yeah, especially during this time of just so many unknowns and so many new experiences, to where even the elders can't really, you know, reference a time like this before, because none of us have never necessarily gone through such a time necessarily. However, I think we can impart some wisdom on them, you know,
mm-hmm.
if they're apt to listen and receptive to or incline their ear to wisdom. So yeah, it's definitely a different time. I actually had a conversation with my neighbor's son, who actually attends Clark, and he's in his last year. And, you know, he and I shared a moment, you know, maybe about 10, 15 minutes this afternoon, just kind of talking about things. And, you know, he's in his last year, but they're doing remote learning. So, you know, how does that affect one, you know, in this time? And then, you know, Chicago's public schools, and I'm not sure, I'm sure Marsha's probably in a similar situation, but, you know, they said for the first semester or first quarter that they would do remote learning, you know, for the elementary school or, you know, school in general. So, you know, that has some short-term and long-term ramifications, and especially for, you know, Israel and our children, because we're often adversely affected. And so think about how many children have already fallen behind and how many will continue to fall behind. And then I can tie it into, you know, they build prisons based off of third-grade reading scores. not to mention the amount of children who have, or young people who have kind of fallen behind and then fallen into the streets based off of, you know, their inability to keep up and to maintain grade level. And so these are the people who are out here committing a lot of crimes and so forth and so on. And so I'll segue that into the last thing is I talked to a coworker of mine. He and I, his birthday is the day before mine, December 31st, and he's about maybe about 12 or 13 years younger than me. And he and I were talking about the rapper who was slain 2 days ago on the Gold Coast, and he was saying that he lives approximately three blocks from the area whose a rival gang of his, and he was saying the mentality is that they can't allow anyone who's on the cusp of becoming a prominent rap star to become famous and make a lot of money, because they would then get this money and pass it back down to whatever faction of the gang that they're in, who they're in opposition to, and then it would cause them, you know, harm, because they would fund them in terms of weapons, drugs, et cetera, to, you know, overtake their rivals. So this stuff is, when he said that to me today, I was just shaking my head. I said, people that I, you know, obviously my peers and people older than me wouldn't even, like, fathom that this kind of stuff is going on, but far too many young people who, you know, who are aspiring to become, you know, influential or, you know, rap artists, et cetera, and maybe even try to get themselves out of the neighborhood, this is what they're falling in, into the trap of. And he actually named a number. He said about, he keeps up with it, but he said it's probably about 50 to 70 potential rap artists in, you know, this generation have succumbed to this gang violence. Mm. So I was in shock because I don't keep up with that kind of stuff.
And you probably don't hear a lot of it on the news anyway, because, you know.
Well, you do, but you're not, you, because you're not in that, in the know, and mm-hmm. you don't relate to that environment, and you don't keep up with these people. Like, when they named his name, I said, right. I don't know who he is, because I don't listen to that stuff. But
exactly.
But it has a correlation in that age group, but then also, yeah. too, because we're so far removed from it, we don't recognize what's actually going on. And this is like I don't know. It's going back to your friend Wendell's statements about, you know, we're going to be extinct. Well, we got to drive a force, you know, with these factions.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you, Chris, on top of that, let me ask you and Marcia and even Gary, because Gary has older kids. But I'm just curious, you all have younger children, and in terms of them listening to music, do any of you, the younger children listen to these rap artists? I'm just curious.
I'm sure they do, but again, we don't know who these people are, and so it's hard to say who is who. My wife might know a little bit more, but I'm a little bit more oblivious, because it's some stations I'll listen to while I'm, you know, on my way home from work, and my oldest knows some of the, a lot of the lyrics, but I'm clueless, and maybe that's something that I need to sit down with them and kind of, you know, figure out, you know, who's who. But yeah, I'm oblivious to it, just because I don't listen to it, and
right.
I turn it off and I listen to, like, talk radio or some other stuff, but no, I'm oblivious of it.
No, I got your part. I was just wondering about your children. Do you know what kind of music that they listen to, and if they listen to a lot of rap, you know? And I'm not trying to suggest that all rap is bad at the same time. So I'm curious, but do you all know whether or not your children at their ages actually do listen to any of these rap artists?
I think they listen to some, but...
Some, yeah, but not yeah, to that extent, yeah.
Yeah,
I know Maisha's into a lot of those TikTok videos where you do dancing.
Okay. Yeah. Same here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's got to be a challenge. I was talking to my chiropractor. I was there Thursday, and at the time I went, I got there before a mad rush came in, so we had some time to just sit and talk before he treated me. And he was saying he knows about my project in the basement. He's a very personable guy, this guy. And so he was telling me that he has some things to do in his home as well. And he has, I think, three to four kids, and they seem to be about in the same age category as both of your children in terms of range. And so he was telling me they're going to homeschool the kids. And that seems to be a growing sentiment right now, whereas people have gotten used to the kids being home and with all the concerns that they might have about a return to school right now. They're just saying, hey, you know what? We can work this out and do this and do that. And of course, I know a family who before all the pandemic did homeschooling before then, and how successful they were. And it wasn't like the mother had teaching credentials, but their kids wound up going. All three got scholarships. One to Stanford, one to the University of Miami, and the other, the last one right now, I think it's the University of Louisville. I get short on my memory on where he might be. But all three got scholarships, academic, and two of them got both academic and athletic scholarships. And they were all homeschooled. And through the junior high years up until the time that they finally went to high school. But through the junior high years in particular, they were homeschooled with excellent results. That's what I'm getting at, it with excellent results. So now with what is going on out here, more are starting to lead towards that direction. Because, and remember this too, under this administration, the money for the public school system is being slowly defunded, and a lot of those funds are being directed towards private schools, mm-hmm. which is stupid and is almost a death warrant, you know. And so that's something I don't think in my lifetime I've seen, with someone so obviously taking the money that has been designated to help people get better in their lives. And so now that those funds are being taken away and given to those who don't need it. And so these are some interesting times. So when I hear these statistics about our children suffering from this virus, I need to look into that just a little bit closer, because how is it that all of a sudden they're saying that the church, Hispanic and black children are getting it more than anybody else? So how are they getting it? Is it because adults of those same communities are getting it more than others? Is that why the children now are getting it? And any of you all know anybody?
Yeah, that's something I'm not aware of.
I just saw this kind of... on CNN, on their website.
Yeah, that's an interesting That's some interesting information, given the fact that children are not involved, you know, at school or anything like that. So if they're not at camps or, you know, I wouldn't understand how they would be contracting the virus.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, this is something that when I saw that, I was concerned, because and that just jumped out at me, you know. And I'm gonna look up on that just a little bit more, because, you know, that's the first time I've seen it, and it's just so much going on out there. But anyway, everybody, thanks so much for your comments, and again, everybody be safe out there, and let's keep one another in prayer. I will definitely. Christopher, have a wonderful ride with the group on Sunday. A week later, I could have made it, but Sunday I had to decide I can't do it. I wanted to, we wanted to. Now with my project being over, Michelle and I will be getting some more rides in out here. She's getting home at a very good hour now, so we will start getting some rides out in the trails out this way. We got a pretty good trail out this way. And just for warm up,
we may be able to make something happen, because we want to go out to we're getting our front door and just the front facing of our exterior door replaced. So we're trying to kind of get some estimates and get some. You know, trying to make some selections. So we have to go out to Crown Point at some point in the next, probably next week or so. So we may make a trip out that way. And so we could schedule it to where we could do a bike ride. I would have to talk with her, but that's something that we could possibly do.
Okay.
But we'll try to figure something out. Yeah.
Oh yeah, we still got time to hook up. I'm just saying that for us, our time in terms of getting back out there is actually next week, and so hopefully we'll keep it consistent as we go forward. You know.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, everybody. Everybody have a good evening. All right. And it looks like Marcia just finally had to leave us. So I know she says she's with her family. So. Everybody stay safe, and we will be in communication with everybody. Bless up, everybody.
You too. Shalom.
Shalom.
Peace.